Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups. Elliot, would you be able to start off by telling our listeners who you are and a little bit about your experience when it comes to interactive marketing?
My name is Elliot Jaffa, and by training, I'm a behavioral psychologist. But I don't see individuals, I see companies and organizations. So I call myself a marketing psychologist. And one of the best tools in marketing today is the interactiveness of how we gain, take good care of our customers, our clients. And two of those are the podcast, the webinar, which are the video and audio portion of interaction. Sometimes our people can hear us, sometimes they could see us, or print. And people don't understand that, yes, in print, you could engage in interaction. And by print, I'm looking at your brochure, I'm looking at your website. So that's essentially what I do for a living. But when people say, what do you do for a living? I usually say, what do you need done? And I get the chuckle. And the two biggest problems companies have, I say, what's your CEOs, what's your presidents, two biggest problems. And it's usually how to make the cash register ring louder. So that's a marketing issue, or some type of people problem, which is a training issue. So I guess you could say I do marketing, I do training, but I'm a people person.
Great to have you on here, because to be honest, I love your background. I consider myself a people person. I also host another podcast. It's called Brains Bite Back, and it's dedicated to psychology and technology. And I have a huge interest in psychology. So I'm really glad to be able to bring that passion into this podcast by having you on as a guest today. And I would love to know, as a behavioral marketing psychologist, what are the most important ingredients to create successful interactive marketing content?
Well, let me share my mantra with you. My mantra is, no matter how good business is, it could always be better. And one of the things that you need as a skill, which you need to develop, unfortunately, they don't teach it in colleges and universities, is business intelligence. And that's a wide open question field, business intelligence. It's extremely broad. But if I could share an example with you, a real life example, experience I had in the early days of distance learning, where the client was the Fortune 500 high-tech companies, colleges and universities, or the federal government. It was something called National Technological University. It was a building in Colorado. They put on about 1,500 courses a year. They were usually 3 to 5 hours. And the instructors were famous, well-versed in their field, but they just sat there in front of a screen for 5 hours. Now, those 5 hours were divided into 50 and 60 minute segments. Well, when they asked me for soft skills, which is sales training, communication, so on and so forth, I said, sure, but can we do it in front of a live audience? And they said, sure. So we had a live audience of about 35 people. It was a 4-camera shoot. And I told my audience, live, I'm not going to be looking at you. If you have a question, raise your hand. But I'm looking at the lenses of the cameras, because that's my TV land audience. And where I'm going with this is, the vice president of marketing said to me, do you have more of these programs after we did our first one? I said, sure. He said, I want to do more. And then a later time came, he says, Elliot, I want to let you know, the people really like you, because see, I could only hear them, but they could see and hear me. And they like you. They like your sense of humor. They like the fact that you're standing up and walking around, engaging the audience. And here's the clincher. He says, you make me a lot of money. So think of interactive marketing equals money, making your cash register ring.
That's a great example. And also I love the analogy, making your cash register ring, because even though that's not a sound that we hear that often today, it's definitely something that we can all relate to in that sense. There's a nice association with it. And I would love to know a few more positive real world examples of interactive marketing that you have seen used by other companies.
Excuse me. Hello, Mom. It's not a good time. Yes, I know I did not send you the link to this webinar. No, Mom, I did not realize that I could save 15% on my car insurance by switching to Geico. Let me call you later. Okay, I'm back.
Awesome. Good to have you back.
Now, did you see what happened here? This is one of my gimmicks, because one of the biggest questions I hear all the time is, you know, what makes a good webinar? Or what's your number one objective by doing a podcast or a webinar? And I ask that question, and the person says to me, well, we wanted to get our name out there. We want people to know who we are. We want to showcase our product or our service. And I say, nope, that's not the right answer. And they say, what is? I say, the right answer is to get the viewer, to get the reader, to get the listener to like you. So oftentimes I'll see a phone go off and the person's embarrassed and they apologize to their audience and they reach into their pocket and shut their phone off. I always have my phone ring, or a phone ring, in the middle of my presentation, because the new people listening to this probably heard the phone go off and started thinking, ah, the idiot didn't know how to shut his phone off. And I said, no. But what do I segue in with is a very popular TV commercial, and did a spinoff on it. Whenever I do this, the audience laughs. They think it's funny as could be. And it took, 10 seconds, but now they like me. When they talk to their friends later in the day and say, how was the webinar you went to? You're not going to believe what this guy did, because they like me. So that's one of the key things to think about, is how do I get my audience to like me?
Your little joke there with that phone call, it actually reminds me of a British comedy show that was very famous. I think it was about 20 years ago. It's called Trigger Happy TV. And essentially, it's a sketch show. And one of the sketches is not necessarily a sketch show. It's live, so it happens in public. So it's kind of like filmed secretly, but this guy does all these pranks and stuff. And one of them is that he goes to places that are very quiet. And then a phone rings and he pulls out this giant phone and he has these really bizarre, loud shouting conversations. And it's really funny. I would definitely recommend that you check that out. It's called Trigger Happy TV. And I'm sure if you just type that in a phone call following that, then you'll see it.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
I think you're absolutely right. It's been a while since I studied this. I think maybe like even 10 years ago since I remember hearing this. But I think there's a theory in psychology called levels of processing theory, which essentially means that the more obscure something is, the easier it is to remember. Or the more that something stands out, the more unconventional it is, the more it stands out in your memory. And I used to do that to remember my exams. But that can really help to stand out. Yeah, sure. I like it.
Thank you.
So yeah, going back to the question at hand and the topic for this episode, can you give some positive real world examples of interactive marketing that you have seen used by companies?
Well, the one that I just gave is a good one, but I'm not seeing a lot of it, because I look at commercials, I look at brochures, I look at websites daily, and I see a bad color combination on the landing page, or a landing page or web page is just full of stuff. And in, you know, when you want real life examples, those are unfortunately the things I have to share, which is, you know, the errors, the mistakes that people make, because they can make it interactive. So to give you an example, one of the best examples I use is a quiz. And many years ago, okay, give you a case study, was a 50-year-old dentist. So it's not a kid right out of dental school. He's been in practice for 25 years. And I got to say, he was probably one of my best, if not the best clients I ever had. Because we would meet for an hour or two every week. He would sit there with a notebook, take copious notes. And the following week, he might have some questions for me. He might need further clarification. But the thing was, is I developed a dental health quiz. And the dental health quiz, if I were a dentist, I would have it right on the front page of my website that said, dental health quiz. Do your teeth bleed when you brush? Are you embarrassed to smile? Are your teeth sensitive to hot and cold? Well, if they're answering yes, 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 there's six questions. You keep your questions six, eight. And the scoring is, if you'd answer yes to any of these questions, you need to make an appointment with Dr. Smith. So I set I always set the quiz up for the reader to fail. Now this can be used interactively online, or it could be used in your print, your brochure, your website, which is print. So people are, by them having, people love quizzes. So by taking a quiz and then they see they failed it, which I purposely do, they realize, wait a minute, maybe I need to make an appointment with this dentist. So, you know, it's, you know, that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make. And once they see how easy it is, and it's the little things, people in talking either face-to-face or via Zoom and FaceTime, they're not using their expressions of their face or their hands. So I call it, you need to become an actor. Now, myself and everybody listening today, if we learn the lines to a Broadway play, we're never going to get to Broadway, even though we know every line of that character. But here's where you could be an actor by rubbing your forehead, putting your finger on your chin like you're thinking, even though you know the answer. You're not on Jeopardy. You do not have to buzz in the fastest. But it's learning how to be an actor. And oftentimes I'll have to work with that person. And if they have technical jargon in their business or their career or whatever they're doing, you're talking to a lay person. So think that you're talking to a fifth grade child. So instead of using ABCs of whatever you want to say, the procedure or whatever it is, spell it out, operationally define the words so they can understand and hear you. Now, this happens very often in the healthcare business. So these are just, you know, a couple examples, but as I said earlier, the key thing is business intelligence. But in a podcast or a webinar, tell the person, write this down. Now, you people listening, I hope you wrote down business intelligence. What's going on right now? People who didn't write it down just picked up their pen and pencil and are writing business intelligence. You tell, let me work with the people out there in podcast land. I want you to fold your hands. Just fold your hands like you did since you were a child. I promise we are not going to pray. Do this with me, Sam. You folded your hands. Now I want you to refold them, but you just move every finger up one or down one. So you're folding it differently. You with me, Sam?
Yeah, I'm trying. Okay, so.
Okay, how's it feel?
So you move them like one at a time?
No, all at once. Instead of folding them like you usually do as a child, since you've been as a child, now just move it over one. So you've still got your hands folded, but you've moved every finger up one.
Feels a bit out of place.
Or down one.
Feels a bit odd.
Yeah. How's it feel? A little bit out of place. Does it hurt?
No.
No, it doesn't hurt, but it's different. It's not painful. It's different. This is called change. So people are reluctant to change. change does not hurt, but it requires patience and repetition to make it work. Because oftentimes when I throw an idea out to a client, most companies have either a vice president of marketing or a director of marketing. What they don't have is a behavioral psychologist, because the marketing person gets you from point A to point B, and they'll have a plan A, and smart marketeers have a plan B. You know what? Psychologists do better. We have a plan C, a plan D, a plan E, a plan F. Nothing is etched in stone. So the important thing is that they do not look at things from the consumer, the client's viewpoint. It talks at you. Turn on a commercial. Watch the commercials on television or on the radio. They talk at you. Look at your brochures. Look at your website. It talks at you. No, wrong. You want to make it conversational. You want to talk as you were sitting right in front of the person, your best friend, sitting in a park bench, just talking on a beautiful day. You make it conversational. And people have difficulty doing that. Like when you're doing that webinar, look at the lens of the camera. People I see all the time, they're looking down at their computer. They're not making eye contact with their audience. So why? That's not the way you sell something. That's not the way you market something. Use your face to smile, to open your eyes up wider, to engage that customer. So what the psychologist does is asks questions like, Sam, here's a great medical example. Great medical example is many hospitals before the pandemic put on seminars in the evening for a person and their spouse or their significant other to join them while Dr. Jones is talking about some healthcare topic. So Dr. Jones is talking Tuesday night on, let's say, he's a urologist and he's looking for male patients. So he invites the men to come and to bring their spouse. Well, what the advertisement that he is running in the paper or wherever on his website says, it says, do you get up more than two times a night to urinate? Do you have the frequent urge to urinate? Yes. Okay, that's fear. Okay, nothing wrong with scaring the hell out of the potential patients, but that's okay. What comes next? He identifies the problem. You may have an enlarged prostate. Okay, most men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. That's who his target audience is. So the guy comes with his wife. He's scared the hell out of him. He's identified the problem. Now the solution is, and he talks about some possible solutions and makes an offer that if I could be of help, feel free to give my office a call. So you got men are definitely afraid of going to the doctors compared to women. Women are much more mature about it, but the wife is there and says, you got to call him tomorrow, make an appointment. Wonderful marketing technique of engaging the customer, thinking like the customer thinks. Your marketing people are great. They design things, but the psychologist develops strategies, step-by-step strategies that you don't need a full-time psychologist on your staff, but think about, you know, that type of consultant that can help you engage your client, your customer, to make that cash register ring. You like that term, Sam?
Yes, I do. I really like those examples. You gave a few nuggets of information there. I like the fact that you mentioned about explaining to someone like as if they're a child. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Reddit, the online forum, but there is a great little forum there and it's called Explain to Me Like I'm Five. And essentially people put really complex questions up there or questions relating to science or politics or history. And they just say, explain to me like I'm five this. And many of the answers I can understand and I don't think I would understand them otherwise. And as well, you're absolutely right. I think psychologists have a better understanding of human behavior more than anyone else, and it's to be expected. But I recently did an episode on heuristics on the other podcast that I host, the psychology podcast, Brains Bite Back. And I think that we definitely have these perceptions of how people think, but when you actually break down the mental shortcuts that our brains take, it's only then that you truly understand how people think and why people think in a certain way. And you kind of start to see life in a different way. But you gave out so many nuggets of information there, and we're kind of coming up to the end of our time. So my last question to you, I'm going to give you 60 seconds now, so the pressure's on. What would be your one piece of advice for those listening who want to get started with interactive marketing? What would be your one take-home message that you could sum up in 60 seconds? If they take anything away from this, it'll be this 60 seconds. What is it going to be, Elliot?
Start easy. Start at the beginning with your website. People think they have a great website when they don't. They're not thinking of color combinations. I look at websites all day long. If I'm doing a live presentation for an association of, let's say, architects, I have 300 people coming. Before I walk in that room, I'm looking at everyone's website so I could talk about the pluses, not many, and the minuses, a whole lot more. But for the most part, I'll say to a potential client, how many of your customers are over 42 years old? Oh, wow, 70, 75%. Then why is your website in 9-point font? People over 42 wear reading glasses. Take it up to 12-point font. But talk conversationally. Instead of having your picture on your website, there's nothing wrong with your picture. I'd rather see John Smith, the person, before John Smith, the CPA, the dentist, the doctor, whatever business it is. I had a dentist who had his white coat on, another picture of him with a patient in a chair. I says, you got two kids, you got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, put them in their pajamas, get the same kind of pajamas, put it on your website. And he says, Elliot, I couldn't believe how many people commented on my family photo. If you don't want to put your, face of your child on your website, go to a fishing hole, a pier, both of you hold a fishing rod and have somebody shoot a photo of the backs of you. So it's Dr. Jones and his son fishing. Or if it's Dr. Jones is a female, could be the daughter at playing soccer or baking or, whatever gender specific activity you want to use. Did I get it in 60 seconds?
I think you might have ran over, but I'll allow it. Elliot, thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to keep up with what you're doing and follow you and just generally know more about your work, how can they do that?
No, it's real easy. I tell you the truth. I took down my website, believe it or not. And people asked that same question as you. My name is Elliot Jaffa. Google it. There's 3 pages of stuff. If you don't know how to find me by using your computer, I don't want you to, I don't want you to bother me. I don't want your business. I don't want you as a customer, but it's easy to find me. Talk. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to hear my voice rather than us texting. I don't want us to exchange emails. Sure, we can exchange 1 or 2 emails, but we build a relationship. That's what you do with your customers. That's what marketing is all about. It's called omnichannelization. Write that word down. Sam's only given me 8 more seconds. Omnichannelization, that's the key thing. But if I could be of help, find me. I'm waiting for you.
There you are. Elliot Jaffa, omnichannel. Omnichannel? What is it? Omnichannelization?
Omnichannelization.
Can hardly say it, apart from let alone write it down.
Okay.
It's all good.
Let me give you another thing. Marketing audit.
Marketing. There you go. Yeah, that's easier. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Elliot. And all the best with the clients that you help, and great to have you on.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.